This is Nick Urich, and you're listening to Let the Hate Flow Through You with Jeremy Shear and El Jordano Diablo.
Let the hate flow!
Available on the Lousy Weather Media Network.
Welcome to Let the Hate Flow Through You, your weekly dose of audible hatred. I'm Jeremy Shear,
El Jordano Diablo.
And this week, live from Akron, well, we're not live, but you know what I mean.
I mean, we're in life, live.
Speak for yourself. We're joined this week by comedian Harrison Poole.
Hello.
Thanks for coming on, man.
Thanks for having me.
So, Harrison, why do you hate failure?
I want to know who doesn't hate failure. Like, I just hate the way I feel during and after. I hate the bad, like, it just, I feel like a terrible person afterwards.
I can end this podcast very quickly. Have you ever read a self-help book?
Many.
Okay, now we're here for a therapy session. At first it was a podcast.
No, I don't hate failure. And here's why. Because I don't learn so good. And, I mean,
I can attest to that.
Yeah, I make a lot of mistakes, and the only way that I'm able to progress is to analyze those mistakes and be like, "All right, how did I fuck up?" So that I can continue on. Like, failure is not like a "I'm done." It's you know, where do I go from here?
I agree with that you get better through failure. I just wish that you didn't have to fail to get better. Like, I wish you could just get better.
I get that. I mean, I've had many fucking failures in my life.
Yes, you have.
I mean, I failed as a Jehovah's Witness. I failed as a drug addict because I had to quit, like, fucking stupid. I've bombed on stage before. I've failed on this podcast before.
Yep.
I agree with Shear 100% is, like, it sucks, but if you just fucking own it, because, like, I go on the, and Paul, who is, thank you, Paul, for recording this, we're at the Paul studio. I go by the Kevin Smith, you know, theory on that, whereas it's like, if you own your own shit, nobody else can own it on you. Like, if you own it before anybody else can say anything, you're good. Because how can somebody else beat you down worse than you?
Okay, that makes sense. Like, and I agree with everything you're saying. You're 100% correct.
Thank you.
Yeah. I don't know. I wish that you didn't have to fail to get better. Like, I wish you could just get better without the terrible feeling. Like, I realize that you can't, but I wish you could.
Yeah, that's not a thing. You
right.
have to fail to learn.
Well, I mean, not necessarily. You can be a natural.
I do not use Dustin Rhodes as an example, but give me an example of somebody who never fucking failed.
Never failed.
And you can't say Jesus Christ.
I got one for you. Well, no, he failed once. His name was...
No, he didn't. He came back.
No, he didn't.
He's like The Undertaker. When they burned him in the casket, he was on Monday Night Raw the next night.
I mean, you know, it's The Undertaker. Yeah, The Undertaker's...
He failed at fucking Crown Jewel or whatever.
Everybody failed at Crown Jewel.
Anyway.
The only thing good that happened in Saudi Arabia during those things was that they cheered a Jew, which is very progressive for Saudi Arabia.
That was my favorite... Who said that to you?
I don't know.
It was some... Whoever said... Because it took me... Because I didn't watch that show. We talk a lot about wrestling here. I did not watch that show. I've still yet to watch it. I'm not going to watch it because I... Fuck them. Yes, the Saudis, but not in a racist way. They're just a fucking terrible country.
No, you're being racist.
No, I'm definitely not being racist. They murdered that fucking journalist.
Why do you have a shirt on that says a towel is not a hat?
For the record, I am wearing a Chris Jericho shirt, and he's never said that to my knowledge. But he made me lose my train of thought. Fuck him. See, I failed at that, but Shear makes me fail. So that's another big thing about failure. Get negative fucking people out of your life, even if they're Jewish.
Look, I am a big proponent of letting people fail so that they can learn.
Yeah, you let me do it a million times when I first started stand-up.
Yep.
I asked him what I'd do wrong. He'd just be like, rewrite that joke. I'd be like, how? Do it. Okay.
But back to the point. Where have you been noticing the most failure? Like, what has really got you, you know, locked into this? This feels like shit.
I know. We talked about bombing, or you mentioned bombing earlier. Like, bombing sucks. It hurts. Like, and I've gotten better since because of bombing, but I don't know.
There's you right there, dude.
I understand that it needs to exist, but that doesn't mean it doesn't hurt.
Let me give you an example. I started doing stand-up in what, like 2014?
I don't remember.
Somewhere, 2014, 2015, somewhere around there. I had been talking about doing it for like 3 years. I don't do stand-up much anymore. Anybody who listens to that show knows that, but this show knows that. But the last time I was on stage, I closed with my closer, the one that I always close with unless I have written something new. But it's the joke that I know will get a reaction, whether it's good or bad, and it's intended to be that way. And I missed the fucking punchline on it. I've been telling that joke for fucking 3 years up to that point, and I missed the punchline, and I was like, why? And I didn't notice. And I was like, why didn't anybody fucking laugh at that? I was like, that's normally my killer. My buddy was recording it, and I went back and listened. I was like, I missed the fucking punchline. You dumb motherfucker. I mean, I'm over it. I'm well over it at this point, but it's like, it's one of those things where it's like, and it doesn't help that Shear made me go up right after one of the worst comedians in Cleveland, in my opinion.
No, I was doing you a favor.
You say it like that. All right, so this is the argument. This is the argument that Shear goes. We'll get back to failure in a second, because that kid just fails at everything, in my opinion. He had been doing stand-up at that point for maybe a year-ish.
Sure.
Somewhere around there. And Shear was like, I'm putting you up after after somebody. And I was like, are you fucking kidding me? He was like, you're going to be able to bring the room back. That's why I'm doing it. And I was like, God damn it. Like, why do I have to be in? And then I missed one of my biggest jokes. I still did better than he did.
I was right.
I'm not saying you were wrong. But, like, it was a little failure that I won't make that mistake again, though. You know what I mean?
Right.
You have to have failures, in my opinion.
But how did it feel in that moment?
In the moment, I didn't notice it. I was just like, shit, nobody laughed at that. I got to keep going. You know, so I ended on something real quick that people did chuckle at, you know, which is fine because, like, you always want to end a set on a laugh. But when I listened back to it, it was just one of those things where I was like, oh, you fuck. It was just a dumb moment. And, like, that's the thing is, like, you have to treat it as, like, don't beat yourself up over it. It's just more or less like, I fucked up, you idiot. Like, if you can laugh at yourself, nobody can laugh at you.
That's one way to look at it. But, like, what is... So, where have you bombed that it's really hurt?
I think almost every time I bomb, it hurts. Like, even if I can rationalize it, like, there were two people in that room, and they weren't even there to see comedy. They just happened to be there at the bar. Like, it still hurts that I couldn't turn that room. Like,
Oh, I've got a good failure to bring up. Do your thing.
Okay, so you're even in like a, let's say, for those of you that are listening out of state, we have a mic in Kent that's been running for about 10 years called the Eurogyro. And some weeks it's really great, some weeks it's not. So even on the weeks that it's not, you still get that feeling like, fuck.
Yeah. I've had some of my best sets there and some of my worst sets there, and those worst ones hurt.
Yeah. Is it like, what is it? Is it just the lack of laughter, or are you making eye contact with people and they're not responding? I mean,
It's a combination of everything. It's a, I don't know. There's a level of, for lack of a better phrase, narcissism with getting on stage.
Right.
And there's an ego to it. And when they don't laugh at something that you think is funny or something you think is smart, that hurts the human ego.
Let me help you. Art is fucking subjective. Mm-hmm. Art is subjective. Like, so you can't, not that anybody starting out in comedy automatically, and I'm not, how long have you been doing it?
About a year and a half.
Okay, fair enough. So it's like, you've done good, you've done bad at this point. You know what the difference is between the two. You can probably read a room at this point in one sense or another. A failure of mine that I was going to bring up was, oh shit, what was it? You had me all fucked
up. You failed at running an open mic?
No, I didn't. That was the that was the ECW of open mics. If anything, I failed because I quit doing it. TM Francis choked out somebody. That was awesome, dude.
I mean,
a car got lit on fire. My car got broken into and all my weed treats got stolen. Like 2 pounds of fucking weed treats.
You're
going to tell me that's a bad fucking open mic? That's drama, buddy. That's a TV show. I'm going to pitch that.
I mean, and, you know, somebody, you know, went all willy-nilly with the N-word and scared off your black people.
Who did? Oh, yeah, that did happen. That wasn't my fault, though. You sign up, you go up.
I mean, you know, you do have the look that says, hey, the N-word's okay here.
I do a podcast with a Jew. I do not think the N-word is okay.
I know you don't think the N-word's okay, but people can't see your heart. They can just see your bald fucking head.
Dude, an X-ray can't see my heart. There's so much shit clogged up in there.
Yeah, I feel you there.
I had a good example of like a failure that like you bounce back from in a good way.
You failed to lose weight?
You know, you fat pig, your gut's bigger than mine at this point, so why don't you suck my dick first and foremost?
I can't suck your dick because I can't move your fat gut out of the way to get to it.
I'll move it for you, bitch.
You can't lift it up.
I'm trying to think of a fucking... I had a good example of a failure that was like, okay, that I learned from, and it had to do with comedy, and I can't fucking remember.
You failed to trim your beard properly? You look like a 16-year-old treasure trail is stuck to your face.
You look like the
face.
Gobbledygooker. Fuck off.
I'm a big
the gobbledyjuker.
That's my new gimmick. Gobbledyjuker.
You can eat me. I'm not pork.
I mean...
Although you do look like a pig, too.
I can put my little nostrils up and get the little piggy going. I know there have been people that have asked me to squeal like a pig.
I don't doubt that at all. I believe that 100%.
I'm a sexy boy.
But like, okay, well, no, we were talking about you like reading a room, reading Rainbow. I don't remember. All right, so when I first started doing comedy, there used to be a mic at this bar in Cleveland called the 5 o'clock. And it was run by somebody I consider a friend and somebody I fucking hate with a burning passion.
It's a duality that happens at these things sometimes.
The person I loved is Ryan DiPerna, so okay. I'll say that. The other person's name I actually refuse to say because I would never give him the time of day.
He quit anyway.
Yeah, fuck him. He could burn or drown in a river and I wouldn't care.
I mean, he can, and you can make that happen. That's right. You, the listener of Let the Hate Flow Through You, can go and murder somebody for our amusement.
No, I thought you were going to say, like, you can pay us to go fucking do it.
I thought this was
going to
turn into an ad break.
I was like, wait, are we advertising ourselves as hitmen now? Because I'm kind of down with that.
This episode of Let the Hate Flow Through You is brought to you by Above Below Murder. Friends, do you have someone in your life that you need to just get rid of immediately? Well, look no further. We can sit on your enemy and crush them to death.
Channel 5 ABC News coming in right now. Two fat men, one Jewish, one kind of white, were drowning a very bearded and hairy man, and they tried to swim away. They got about 5 feet and were asking for help.
I can swim underwater for more than 5 feet.
Because you're 5'8"?
Yeah, that's why. It's the only reason why. But no, 5 o'clock.
All right, 5 o'clock. So it was just as I was getting into comedy, I was getting a lot of positive responses, like especially from people that I respected, like him, like Jeremy, who's another one. I mean, Ryan.
Nope, that's it.
I was going to say somebody else, but it's somebody I used to respect, but no longer. And another person I will not say his fucking name. All told me at various times, like, hey, you're good. Keep going. Keep doing it. And so I'm in the middle of, you know, 5 minutes is the general amount you get at an open mic. And I did my 5 minutes. There was probably like 8 comedians in the room. So it's like, comedians don't, that's another thing. Comedians don't pay attention to other comedians, period. Like,
I'm sorry, what'd you say?
Thank God I'm not a comedian anymore. I caught myself there. From sounding like a big idiot. Stupid idiot. So anyway, I do this set. It was actually pretty good. Like I had a couple comics laughing in the room, which is not always the easiest thing to do. And when I was done, the hosts weren't in the room. One we know, well, they're both drunks, but one we know for sure is a negligent drunk. Are they both negligent drunks?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So I decided I was going to do another minute, and I roasted not the room like of people in there, but I roasted just like the situation I was in, that the open mic hosts weren't there. And then I finally was like, okay, I've literally got nothing else. So I fucking Jay-Z mic dropped that motherfucker and walked. I've never seen two people run so fast into a room because they heard the fucking mic drop. So it was a failure in some ways, but in other ways it wasn't. I won because people were like, oh, that dude don't give a shit. He really doesn't care. So I'd say that was one of my more, it was a failure, but it was like I bounced back from it real quickly for myself. You know?
I mean, where did you feel in that moment where it was like, oh, shit?
That the two guys that ran the mic didn't give a shit that I was on stage. Because I was still young into comedy. I didn't know that nobody gives a shit.
Yeah, there is that.
You want to perform in front of an audience, not fucking comedians. And that's 90% of the time you bomb in front of comedians.
Yeah, there is that. Has it gotten easier, dealing with, you know, this is the situation that I'm in, so this isn't really failure exactly, this is just putting my reps in?
I've gotten better at rationalizing it as that. Like, it still hurts about the same, but afterwards I'm able to, like, sit down and decompress easier than when I started.
So the more you fail, the easier it gets.
Yes.
That is, it's something that I, you know, I just started again after a year.
Practice makes perfect.
Practice failing?
Practice makes perfect.
Is that what you've been doing for the past 25 years, Jordan?
Should we take a poll on this podcast Twitter to see who fucking makes more of an ass out of themselves? Actually, I take that back. I don't want to do that.
No, you don't, because you know the answer.
That's because I drink and you don't.
Yeah, that's part of it.
No, that's all of it.
Oh, it's just because I don't drink, I am less of an ass than you.
Yes.
Okay. So, drinking causes failure. Do you drink, Harrison?
I am attempting to quit.
You're attempting to quit?
Square.
Yeah,
actually, you know what's funny? It's the last episode people have heard of this. I went like 17 days without drinking. You know, I was doing it way too much, so I needed to take a step back, and I talked about it a little bit, but, like, even though it's not like I started drinking again, I never said I was going to fucking quit. Mm. So, like, I can't consider that a failure. I kicked drugs, so people can suck my dick on that one.
I mean, they can suck your dick because you can actually get it up now.
Fair enough. Opiates will cause you to become impotent when you use them, not all the time. Well, actually, no. They don't cause you to become impotent. You can't come.
That's, you know... Yeah, because when you come down, like, you know, you get the post-drugs wank.
Yeah.
And it takes too long.
I'll tell you this, never ever try to jerk off or fuck somebody when you've taken a shit ton of Adderall. It ain't gonna work. Your dick will not get hard. Period. Let's take some Blue Chew, who is not sponsoring us yet.
I mean, no, they're not. Like trying to quit, so you're failing at quitting. So.
Kind of. I was just drinking too much, and my grandma's gonna be listening to this, so this will be an interesting story.
Hi, grandma. Hi. I'm Jordan.
Things got out of hand, right. And I went up, and then
you failed at drinking,
basically, very, very badly. I quit for about four or five months, and then picked it up again, and now I'm trying to quit for the second time.
Like, for good, or for just, like, I want to take a sabbatical?
A sabbatical until I can figure out how to handle myself.
Fair enough. Yeah. I will give you an example of a failure of mine. I've seen my favorite band probably like 30 fucking times. No joke. They did 4 shows at the Grog Shop, a small venue, a way smaller venue than they should have been playing, on purpose though, because they played 4 nights in Cleveland. They played 2 albums each night. Mm-hmm. And I've hung out with those dudes before because I've seen them 30 fucking times. So, like, I go to the bars that they go to after the shows and shit. A month before I got a DUI, I had been on about a 6-month bender. And it was really ramping up around this time. So about a month before I got my DUI, the night they play, my aunt and uncle as a birthday present bought me tickets to go see them play my favorite album, which had about 3 songs that I had never heard them play before live. So I was stoked to shit. Luckily, they opened with that record because I remember that. I remember singing my favorite song. The bass player offered me fucking tickets. He's to the nights I didn't have tickets to, because this was the second night. So he was like, yeah, I got you tomorrow and the next day. No big deal. I'll put you on the list. I made such a fucking ass out of myself after the show that I was laying outside the Grog Shop and my sister and my father had to pick me up off the ground. If that's not fucking embarrassing. And then I wondered why he wouldn't return my tweets the next day or 2. And I was like, oh, you really fucked up, dude. And I do that one stuck with me for a while. Because, like, when you're around people that you, like, respect and all that shit, you're like, you want to be on your best game. I wasn't. I was just like, I'm pretty sure I got alcohol poisoning that night because I woke up, there was puke all over my comforter. My sister had apparently dragged, how Riley dragged me upstairs, I will never know.
She's a beast.
Because my dad was like, fuck him. Leave him out on the porch. I don't care. Fuck my dad. I don't care. But yeah, that was a big one for me. It took me a long time to get over that too, but like the biggest thing was the DUI. Like, talk about a fucking failure. I bounced back from it though, dude. Anybody who knows me, Sheer being one of them, like if you know like where I was at that point in time about 4 years ago.
Oh shit.
Yeah. If you know where I was at that point in time, I was whacked out on fucking drugs. I was whacked out on fucking booze. I had a DUI coming. Like, it was on its fucking way. Turns out, I did it in a very, very... like, I do anything in an elaborate way.
Yeah.
Flipped a car in the middle of summer when it wasn't raining, going 30 miles an hour. Talk about a failure.
He failed at driving. He was texting and driving and while drink, he was drunk.
And listen, and blasting Run the Jewels. Like, I was not, the last thing I was doing was driving that fucking car. But I bounced back from it, you know what I mean? Like, I bounced back, it took me a while, but I think it probably took me until we started doing this podcast.
Yeah, pretty much. So, you failed at handling yourself when you're drunk. Has it affected your comedy career at all?
I'm one of those, when I start drinking, I don't stop.
Oh, word.
So it's not that, yeah, it's not that like I'm constantly drunk. It's that the moment a single drink enters me, my brain can't tell the difference between 1 and 13.
Oh.
So like 1 shot and 13 shots are the same thing to me. And,
No worries.
So your question was, has it affected my comedy?
Yeah.
I don't go on stage drunk. Like, I never went on stage drunk. Like, that was a rule I set.
That's a good rule.
That is a good rule.
It was a rule that I set it because if I knew I broke it, then I would continue breaking it. Like, it was very much like, I will always be sober on stage. So, and I tell jokes about having a problem or having had a problem, or I don't know how to phrase it. But, like,
I was taking pills when I talked about fucking having a problem. Like, I was also high as fuck on stage when I did it.
Oh.
I hosted an open mic like that we were talking about before. It was pretty much the bad, like, that's what we called it, was the Bad News Bears of Cleveland comedy. It was like, that's what it was.
Yeah, that's because you're a fat little boy, just like in the Bad News
Bears.
And
you were the fat, you were Walter fucking Matthau, motherfucker. Every week you were there. So how are you going to fucking dog my open mic that you showed up to every week?
Look, the only reason I showed up every week.
To keep me in control?
No, it's because he had pickled eggs.
God. And Megan the bartender.
I mean, I don't care about that.
She was great. Anyway.
I don't remember Megan the bartender.
Really?
No.
Okay.
No, I remember the pickled eggs. I don't remember the bartender that gave them to me.
Of course you do, because you're a fat pig.
Yes. I wasn't fat back then. That was like, fuck. How many drugs was I on back then?
A lot.
Okay.
A lot.
Because you
weren't drinking at the time. But you were on a whole bunch of other shit.
I thought I was drinking during that time.
You would only occasionally have a drink.
I just... Fuck. Because I had a similar problem to you where it was like, you know, once I start, the party keeps going until, like, I am passed out in a pool of my own vomit. Or passed out in somebody else's bed. And I wake up and wondering, where the fuck am I? I didn't drive here. Shit. Or somebody else would be in my bed and I didn't want them there. But at any rate,
I may know a person or two you're talking about.
Yeah, it's, ugh, gross. At any rate, so, yeah, this mic, Bad News Bears, that's accurate.
I mean, basically it was just like, dude, I mean... I don't know if I should count the Partlow thing as, like, a failure or a success, because, like, that was better than wrestling. We had a three... I've talked about this on the podcast before, but since we're coming back, we haven't done... You know, we haven't released... Well, at this point, we've probably released an episode.
Yeah.
But I had a... And this is nothing against her. I love her. If she listens to the show, she should know I love her, because she came to that mic every fucking week. She was awesome.
And she picked me up.
Exactly. She, a good lady. Something cross got said to her by a 300-plus-pound Puerto Rican man who just got out of prison. He was with two of his friends. Now, he used to drink Crown Apple, double shots of it. So we're talking like this. And this guy could handle his alcohol until he had a little too much. And I did... She made a joke about cancer, I think. And he, and let's be upfront and honest, it was very far and few between that the house was packed for this mic. We would have people there, but it was never packed, aside from this one specific night. And he said something to her while she was on stage. She called him out. They were going to fight. So I had to usher the whole thing fucking outside. There's a video of it, some like a part of it somewhere. But the best part is like once I split them up, because I knew who he was. He used to sell me weed. And like I didn't want her fucking, sorry, he's a 300-pound Puerto Rican dude who just got out of prison. I don't know what he's going to do to you. So like I have to.
So Jordan, if he was a 300-pound white guy,
I would probably be even more scared for her. If I'm being honest. So, I mean, we could get into statistics here if you want, but whatever. I ushered them outside. And the dude had a friend with him who was over his shoulder, this skinny little white fucking piece of shit, talking shit at me. Like, I was just trying to break up the fight, just talking shit at her. And that dude tried to come at me, the skinny white guy. The Puerto Rican dude knocked him the fuck out on my accord. So I don't know if to count that as a failure or a win. I'm going to call that one a draw. That's a 60-minute draw right there, brother. I did a Broadway.
I would still call it a failure because you failed to promote to the right people.
How was I going to promote to the neighborhood across the street from the Christmas Story house? It's all shitbags.
Yeah, but I mean, some of that shitbaggedness was hilarious. Like when Accidental tried to run a show there, and then somebody got shot.
What? Dude, no. What? All right, my failures. Let's talk about fucking Accidental Comedy, a failure of the nth fucking degree. So, Accidental Comedy. I don't know which one of them, and I don't give a shit. Went to the owner of the bar that I worked at and hosted a mic at. And because there's a couple names in that group, the owner of the bar was like, oh yeah, you guys can definitely run a show here. It was on Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
It was on Thanksgiving, and I always spent Thanksgiving with my cousins and shit. So I basically was like, yeah, we're not doing a mic that night. So he allowed Accidental to come in there and run a show. Well, my Irish mob buddies that I know from that bar, one of them ended up shooting somebody in the leg that night. Hey, don't step on my turf.
They failed at doing proper research.
Exactly. Don't fuck with Hordano's crew because you don't know where he's got. That's right. I'm like the CIA, dude. You don't fucking know who's my friend.
You've been doing MK Ultra on yourself.
Yes, I've been drugging myself for years. It's called self-medication, though.
Mm-hmm.
But MK Ultra, dude, that shit actually freaks me out. Don't talk about that. Like, I've seen those videos. It's weird.
It is weird, but they did fail at mind control because they had to shut down. If they would have succeeded at mind control, then it would still be going on.
All right, let's talk about failures. How do you feel? Is Area 51, is that going to be a success or a failure?
Oh.
The storming of Area 51 is what I'm talking about. This will definitely come out before then.
I think it'll be a failure on spectacular proportions.
I hope that every news crew in the nation and world is... I want every angle. Like, yep. I want it to be like the Cerebro of, like, I want to plug my brain into, like, and I want to see every angle of, like, oh, that person just got killed. That's a fucking alien. Like, that's what I want. But that's for my own entertainment purposes.
You just want people to fail at community organization.
No, I would love, like, all the fucking memes coming out of, like, me with the alien, you know, like, of, like, Twisted Metal. I think I saw one in the original Area 51 game that's like, this is me breaking out of Area 51 with my alien. I'm like, fuck yeah, dude. I took one of those stupid fucking tests where they, like, tap to play or whatever, and it was like, Jordan, arrested. He brought a bottle of tequila, just wanted to do shots with the aliens. I'm like, dude, if that's not accurate, I don't know what the fuck is. So they must be watching me. I won't be there.
I think it will be a success for everyone viewing.
And that's the important bit.
Yeah.
I'm not fucking going.
No, fuck, you just moved back from that way, kinda.
I hate the desert.
Why? Your people walked it for 40 fucking years.
Exactly, and now we're done. Like,
dude, that was an alley-oop. That was perfect.
Yeah. No, but it's... I hate the desert, and it's because, like, I had... I was moving out to Colorado because I had failed at trying to put a life together for myself in Akron, Ohio, which honestly...
And you thought Colorado would be a better...
No, this was San Francisco.
This is like 20 years ago. Okay.
Yeah, this was...
So this was the first time you failed at putting a life together in Cleveland.
No, this was Akron. I was trying to put...
Oh, sorry. My bad.
It was... I tried to go to the University of Akron and live off campus in a basement apartment with one window... And no bedroom, just a kitchen, a living room. It was an efficiency. But, one window. And I kept having people crash over at my house because I did not have it the worst amongst my friends group. Because I had failed at making good friends. But...
Well, that's one thing you've succeeded in at this point, anyway.
Oh, no. I still have... Never mind. At any rate...
Excuse me?
You're a fat piece of shit. Anyway, don't...
Can you block out Jew cunt, Paul? Thank you.
Jew cunt. Anyway.
Block that out again, Paul.
You can say Jew cunt.
No, I can't.
Why not?
Because I'm white and I'm bald.
You have a point. For those of you listening to Let the Hate Flow Through You, Jordan actually has a lavish toupee adorning his head right now. And actually, you can't tell if it's him or just some handsome bloke just putting pomade in his hair, going to the Rockabilly show.
You and me are just the fucking white trash version of the fucking Dudley Boys. I'm going to leave it at that. Anyway, talk about failure more.
I was getting into it. It was your turn to interrupt me, I guess. So at any rate, I had failed at putting a life together in Akron. I failed out of college, so I didn't have any options. So I decided I'm going to move to San Francisco because that's where my family is. But I'm going to drive out there. And I found somebody to come with me so that we could make the drive like on 2 days straight instead of like stopping. But we still had to stop because we were both too fucking tired to drive in Elko, Nevada. And there was a warning when we stopped at a rest stop in Nevada that said, "Caution! Desert creatures." And it just had a picture of a bunch of poisonous snakes and fucking bugs and shit. And we got to the hotel and I couldn't sleep because I kept looking for desert creatures all night and scared the ever living shit out of me. And I never wanted to go back to the desert since I saw that sign.
I won't lie. When I went out to Utah a few years ago, I had watched a couple videos beforehand about skinwalkers. Are you familiar with this? Are you familiar with skinwalkers?
No. Harrison, are you familiar with skinwalkers?
No.
It's a Native American folklore. Maybe, I think the Navajo people, maybe. They're like, basically, I'm trying to like think like what they kind of look like the aliens from Signs, but they're more like demonic than that. And that freaked me the fuck out because like, I was in a town of Mormons and fucking native people who were all fat, and that's fine. I have no problem with that. But when I went to the grocery store, all of the anything that was aerosol was put behind a lockbox. And I was like, so I, not that I have hair to spray, but I can't buy hairspray here because people drink that shit.
They don't drink it. They huff it.
Whatever. Same fuck, you're ingesting it. It doesn't fucking matter which way you do it.
Have you never huffed gas?
No!
Why not?
I'm not fucking Michael, we're fucking Philip Seymour Hoffman in that movie Love, Liza. I'm not like, oh, my wife died, I need to huff glue and build model airplanes.
Harrison, have you ever huffed gas?
No.
Harrison's never huffed gas. Paul, have you ever huffed gas?
Okay,
one person's with me here.
No, I've done poppers.
That's different. That's
well, right, now I'm curious. Now, like, what kind of gas are we talking about? Are we talking diesel? Are we talking unleaded? Like, what are we, premium?
I mean,
what's the best?
The best? I like computer duster.
All right. So Jeremy's just a failure at life. So we've learned that. Look, Harrison, how are you doing?
Look, the reason that computer duster was so awesome was because it changes your voice. And it was
so
right,
does helium, you idiot.
But it makes it deeper where helium raises it up. So I was out in Colorado and the Lord of the Rings had just came out.
You shall not pass.
Yeah, it was more than, no, we were pretending to be Ents. Tree? I am not a tree.
The Ents do not get involved.
You can't do it slow, otherwise you lose the thing in your voice. But that was...
So you sound like Anton Meth?
Yes. It was great. It was a lot of fun.
All right, also, so what me and Harris are going to do is say, fuck you, we're going to go get some air duster, and we're going to find out if this Ent shit's real.
No, don't give Harrison duster.
Angel dust? Or
have you ever done angel dust?
No.
That's the one thing, well, that and ecstasy are the two things that I've never done. Yet, don't give me that look. I don't need something that makes me horny.
Have you done PCP?
That's what angel dust is. No, I haven't done it.
That's biker meth, then.
No, it's a hallucinogen.
Isn't I thought biker meth was PCP.
No, biker meth is just really shitty meth.
Oh, I thought it was like fucked up. I guess it would be fucked up meth.
Yeah. If you're buying meth and you get PCP, your life's over. For that, at least for that night.
So there's a mega difference between angel dust and meth.
Yeah, angel dust is a hallucinogen.
It's a
psychedelic drug.
Oh, fuck that. Don't want that. No, thank you.
No. I've been actually searching for somebody that actually had a positive experience on angel dust. Because the only thing you ever hear is that somebody gets angel dust put in their weed and then they go and fight the cops. Like, that's all you hear about. You never hear, like, I had a calming, ego death and I discovered things about myself.
That's why I don't do uppers. I don't do anything anymore. I absolutely refuse. I fucking hate uppers, dude, because the cum... I don't even know if he is. Have you ever been a drug user?
Weed, nothing else.
Oh. No.
I'm sorry. We're probably throwing shit at you like, I don't know, these guys are failures.
You were failing at becoming a waste of life.
See, the thing is Harrison here, he's a success because we're both fucking degenerate drug addicts who are like, let's talk about our drug experiences and ask him if he knows about that. He's like, I've smoked weed. Like, success for you because weed fucking rules.
I can't smoke weed anymore.
I hope that doesn't happen to me when they probably up my... all right, this is for everybody on the podcast. Moving forward, me and Jeremy are on the same drugs. Like, for the first time ever.
I'm on more drugs than him.
He's 100 milligrams more, but whatever.
So, I actually...
And that probably sounds like a lot to most people, but it's really not.
It's not. At any rate, no. The last time I smoked weed, I started tripping really hard. So I was like, no.
And he says that's a bad thing.
It is a bad thing. Like, when I can't tell the difference between, reality, and I keep seeing patterns in my life, and it makes me want to kill myself, terrible.
Don't kill yourself. Just watch Twin Peaks, dude. It'll be fine. It all makes sense.
No, I don't want to watch Twin Peaks. Because I'm failing at getting those references with you.
Oh, dude, I just want to play the Will Ospreay chop, because that's how bad I want to chop you.
Don't chop me,
please. No, you talk to Harrison for a minute.
I will talk to Harrison for a minute, you monster. So you've decided that you're going to cut this out of your life because you can't control it. So you don't have that to be like your buffer between like... failure and feeling okay. So
succession, succeeding.
Succession is when
I know I fucked that up. That was a failure. Oh my god! Here again. This is how bad I want Jeremy to get hit. Just listen.
I'm so glad
that was a man slapping somebody on the chest. I'm gonna play that again.
Jesus, you don't. Why are you doing audio bits? You're failing at fucking
dude,
podcast.
You used to play the fucking air horn on this shit all the time. And guess what else? Ham. Yeah. If you can do that, I can fucking do one in fucking 90 episodes. Suck my cock. Fail at that too.
I will fail at sucking your cock. I'm not good at it. Well, hang on.
You're doing fucking bits that nobody's gonna see. So we're even. You see what failures we are, dude? It's okay to be a failure. People will still listen to your podcast. You don't gotta get on stage or do a goddamn thing.
I took my teeth out. Because I failed at
I heard that. That was gross.
It is really gross.
You're disgusting.
I was letting it go.
Oh, I'm not. I've known him for too long.
You don't have to let it go, Harrison. It's fine. You don't have that buffer, which most people do open mics drink, because it sucks.
Because it's not a real comedy show.
At this point, it's just like, I need to get it, like, in the muscle memory and shit like that.
You're just going to feel like shit every time. But that's where I got to. I was like, I'm not doing mics anymore. Fuck this.
So is it just rationalizing everything that went wrong, or do you have something else that you do to, like, kind of decompress?
It's just heavy rationalizing.
Yeah, I mean, whatever needs to be done. So, What other aspects of your life are you finding that, shit, I keep running into this, I have to rationalize this, otherwise I'm not going to be able to get to the next thing?
I don't, it's a good question. I don't know. I think I did really well in, like, school, and, like, I finished second in my class, and, like, I was an achiever. My brother hates when I talk about this, but I competed at mathematics.
Fuck
at
your
the
brother.
Right? I competed at mathematics at the national level.
Oh, nice.
Right, so he's, like, a failure at math, so fuck him.
No, actually, he's not.
Well, he's, well,
you're
compared
just better
to you,
than him?
Compared to you, he's a failure. That's how sibling rivalry works, brother.
Awesome. So, I've always been, like, an achiever, and, like, overachiever in some cases. And so when failure does happen, like, I don't know, I have achievements to kind of build ego to keep a level of sustained okay. And then when failure does happen, that's a ego.
So you've got gifted kid burnout.
Yeah.
Yes.
Totally.
I had the same problem.
I never had that, but I've seen it.
That was my fucking problem when I started doing anything. You know, when I got out of school, because it was like, school was so fucking easy.
I just didn't care, dude. That was me in school. I just didn't care.
Like, I'm graduating college a semester early because I just fucking, like, I just worked.
How old are you?
21.
Fucking, this kid's way smarter than us. What the fuck's he doing on our podcast? Jesus.
Apparently he's not that smart because he's on the,
like,
podcast.
Jesus. Right. He looks like Jesus, too. Might be a little bit better looking.
Well, you're just saying that because he's not a Jew.
Well, he looks like white Jesus.
Okay, white Jesus it is. So you're graduating a year, not a year,
and
a semester.
Props on that, dude.
Thanks.
Holy shit.
See, I don't even see it as, like, I see it as an achievement just because I can
but
rationalize
what
it is.
That's what you expect from yourself.
Right. Like, my goal was 3 years, and I'm doing it in 3.5. So in my head, even though I know it's graduating early, like, it's still half a failure in my head.
All right, so here's one that now I'm going to get indignant at you.
Mm-hmm.
I fucking quit college after a semester and a quarter. So, suck my dick. You're doing just fine. I wrote an English paper that I got an A+ on. The next English that was taught by an Indian lady. All I'm saying about that is her V's were W's and her W's were V's. And that was who taught me my English class. Somehow I passed with a B. I don't know how that happened.
Did you say a V or a B?
No. I passed with a B. She used her W's were V's, and her, like, we were going to learn about verbs today. Not worms,
okay.
Verbs, which were verbs. I passed that class with a B. I got halfway into my next class, and I was like, college isn't for me, dude.
I think,
and that was community college.
I think it would be funnier if you passed with a V. I'm just saying.
No, dude, if you're 23?
21.
God damn it, dude. Fuck. You're going to be just fine.
Dude,
God damn.
Don't
worry about failure. You're going to have many more. Just focus on the positives. Fuck the negatives, man.
I mean, it's tough to fail, though, after you succeed for fucking so long. Because it's like, you don't have... When you're good in school and shit like that, there's not a lot of failure that happens. So how are you supposed to get fucking used to it?
Well, no, because school is built on and I'm sure you'll agree, it's built on a point system. Yeah. If you get the work done and you do the work correctly, you get the amount of points. It's like a fucking game, dude. It's exactly what it is. It's like leveling up, you know what I mean? Like, each grade you go, it's like leveling up and... Dungeons and Dragons, or whatever the fuck's your thing.
Yes, that's what happens in Dungeons and Dragons. You get points.
You do, and you level the fuck up. Am I wrong?
Yeah, you get experience points.
Oh, my bad, because in school it's not experience. Fuck you. I not right? I'm right. Fuck you.
You have failed at making that reference.
No, I fucking succeeded at making a point.
I don't think you've made any cognizant points.
Hit us up at The Hate Flow on Twitter, on Facebook, at the email, whatever. What else do we got?
I don't fucking know.
Instagram. I think we have an Instagram, too.
You're running the Instagram.
Well, we'll find out about the Instagram. That might be a failure too. I might need to remember the login. I don't know.
Oh god damn it. I already forgot the email login, so
didn't we have a password like for everything?
Yes. I mean, no. 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 You can't guess all of our logins if you guess one password.
Fat dumb white guy at AOL.com. That's our password. That's how stupid fucking failures we are. Dude, you're 21.
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry about fail. I'm 31. You're going to, and I'm not saying this in a bad way, you're going to have a bunch more failures. Build on the successes. That's what fucking matters.
So you've noticed with comedy, though, that it gets easier to rationalize over time. Have you found that you can branch that out into other aspects of your life?
Kind of. Not more with comedy, because school, I never really gave a shit. Like,
right.
I functioned at 80% and I pulled 95.
Like, right.
Like, but with comedy, I actually care. Mm-hmm. And so if it's something I don't care about, I don't really need to rationalize because I don't care if I fail.
Right.
But with something like comedy that I love, like, that's where I need the most rationalization, because I want to keep doing this.
Yeah. And that, that does make it tough.
I don't disagree with you. That will make you better. That will make you better.
Yeah, it's
like if you are your hardest judge, if you don't get to that point of like self-loathing and shit, I know that sounds funny, and it is funny, but like if you don't let it get to that point, you'll be fine.
I mean, you've talked about, you know, being, if you've seen Harrison's act, he's very he's very self-aware.
which I haven't. This is the first time me and Harrison have met.
Right.
You know, so.
Yeah.
But
I've watched people, like, in their first couple years cry outside of open mics. Like,
I was too drunk to cry outside of open mics.
No, these are people that are pretty fucking famous now. And, like, that's how they started. Because it's
grow up.
They did. But it sucks. Like, in the beginning, especially, you know, it's not just people that, you know, are good in school and then they find an art that they can actually do. It's people that have succeeded in other areas of life and then they're branching out into this thing. And then, you know, you hit that wall because it's comedy doesn't work like anything else. Like,
no,
it's all trial and error.
I mean, it like I was saying at the very beginning, like it's an art form. It's subjective, but I mean, just like every like art is so fucking like I consider wrestling, professional wrestling, an art form.
And porn.
It's all fucking subjective. Use porn as an example. I fucking cannot stand overproduced fucking porn with fake tits and chicks with a bunch like tattoos that are awful, and especially when they're crosses, because like I'm not a Christian, but like it weirds me out when there's like a load blown on a cross. I'm like, why'd you get that tattoo in the first place? Like,
to get a load blown on the cross. Jesus, Jordan,
I mean,
keep
if
up.
If they're Satanists, that's rad as fuck, but I don't think that they are. But it's an art form and it's subjective. That's my point. I concede.
He doesn't like overproduced porn because he wants to put himself in the porn.
Yeah, I want to watch somebody that's going to fuck a fat guy.
Yeah.
Okay?
And if it's overproduced, like, he's like, man, I couldn't afford this set. I can't afford this cameraman.
But I got this iPhone. You want to film a porn, Chelsea? Let me ask you a question. What's your biggest failure that you consider?
I don't know. Drinking recently has been like,
oh, grow up.
Like where I'm like, we're like, I don't know. We're like, I really felt like I couldn't. Like that was the first time where I'm like, I got in too deep over my head. If that makes sense.
You just how long ago did you turn 21?
October.
How long have you been drinking?
Oh, you narc! Stop it.
What, are his parents going to listen to this?
He said his grandma was going to listen to this.
Well,
you dunce.
If she hasn't turned it off at this point, grandma must be cool.
Like, about 18, 19.
Okay, okay. So like most people. Mm-hmm. Okay, so if you notice it's a problem, mm-hmm. all right. But like at the same time, you're 21. That's what you're supposed to do. Anyway, so drinking is your biggest failure?
That's the one that comes to mind. There's probably worse ones, but...
Is it just the loss of control that is the big thing?
Not mainly, yeah.
That's
yeah.
my favorite part.
Yeah, that's my least favorite part. Because it's... Yeah, I don't need...
Can I get any backup?
I'm bipolar, so it's I have serious control issues, mm-hmm. and that was like the thing that like finally, it's like all right, I can't lose control anymore, otherwise I'm actually gonna stab somebody.
They haven't diagnosed me yet. What do you think? I heard they don't diagnose people as manic depressive anymore.
No, because they call it bipolar.
Oh, so that's what I would be considered if they did diagnose me. Okay.
There are people that I know that are still going with the manic depressive diagnosis, but they say it's because of their rapid cycling bipolar.
That's what I was misdiagnosed as.
Oh, it was misdiagnosed. So what did...
It's anxiety and depression with a little bit of OCD. And it's like...
I don't have the OCD, but I have the other two mm-hmm. very, very, very bad. Mm-hmm. So I can sympathize with that, man.
So and, go ahead, sorry.
Oh, I have Tourette's, if you don't notice I'm ticking.
Dude, it was a podcast. You didn't have to tell anybody.
Okay, well, the reason I say is, like, it's often linked with, like, it's all linked with Tourette's because it's the same part of the brain.
Yes, absolutely, mm-hmm. absolutely.
So, man, that's a shitty misdiagnosis, though.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so, go see another doctor. Here's my diagnosis. Go see another fucking doctor.
Yeah, they just changed my diagnosis from 2 to 1, but, yeah, it's,
2 shells to 1. 1 will do the trick.
Yeah. I don't need 2 shells to do the job. You can't pull the trigger more than once.
That was my best suicide joke I've ever told. I'm retiring from fucking everything. This is it. I'm done. That was the best joke I've told in a long time.
Good for you.
Hey! I flicked Jeremy's tit.
They're surgically altered. Don't do that.
About that.
Here's one thing I failed at.
Tits.
Yeah.
They could have been voluptuous and beautiful, and you let them cut them out of you.
They weren't voluptuous and beautiful. I had big old torpedo titties.
You could have been in a John Waters movie.
I could have, but look, it looked like I had, like, you know those cones that you see in math class? Like, that's what my tits look like. Big, fleshy cones. Like, if I would have let those go... if I would have let those go, they would have been hanging past my balls by now. So I had to get something done.
I forget. How old were you when that happened?
13?
Yeah, that's a failure of being a teenager, dude.
People wouldn't stop grabbing them.
That's sexual assault, brother.
Yeah, well, it was the fucking 90s. Nobody cared.
Isn't that scary that that's what our excuse was? Well, it was the 90s. Like, no, that's when people started getting PC, but it wasn't quite there yet.
No, I was a fat little boy with tits. They didn't care I was getting sexually assaulted.
They're like, God damn it, he's a Jew. I wish he was Catholic.
It's like, no, you have to go swimming and people will try to fuck you in the tits in the shower.
Holy fuck, dude.
You could have had a career in tit job porn.
I mean, I could have. Like,
I mean, now, you would have made money, like, legitimately.
Now I could do it because they make the fake dicks that come.
Oh, yeah, they do that.
So I could do, like, you know, I wouldn't have to do an actual dick. I could do like the cam girls do.
Fair enough.
Man, now I kind of... I'm
dude, I literally last week with everything that's been going on in my life, I was like, I wonder if I could get people to pay to watch me jerk off. Like, I wonder how much money I would make doing it.
If you would like to pay to watch
jerk off.
No,
we are not plugging that on the podcast. That shit's anonymous, bro.
I'm so sorry, Grandma.
This episode of Let the Hate Flow Through You is sponsored by
Grandma.
Jordan's Free Cans. Say there, boys and girls, have you ever wanted to know what it's like to watch a sad man jerk off?
It's called chatterbait.
Oh, yeah, they do charge. I just watch clips.
I have something to tell you off mic.
But it seems like it's getting easier to deal with it. So do you think it's still going to drive you going forward to just hate failure, or is it something you're going to accept as time goes on?
I'm starting to accept it as just a part of a process. Like, have you heard my joke about my uncle?
Yes.
My uncle is mentally retarded, and I have a joke.
Like Down syndrome or just like
undiagnosed.
Okay.
And I have like a 7 to 9 minute bit about it where it's,
wow.
Like,
okay.
It's deeply personal. And like, if you listen to what I say, nothing I say is offensive, but audiences about 30% of the time will shut off on the first word because it's retarded. And like, it got to the point where I wrote like a 2 minute part where I'm just ranting to the audience that they're wrong, yeah. That like, I'm not being offensive. And that's where I turn them. And so like, the joke is better because of it. So,
you know, that is good. Yeah. Right. That's fucking awesome.
Turning a failure into a success.
Yeah. The fact that you were able to rework it and do it that way, that means that you care enough to fucking write.
Right.
That was
W-R-I-T-E, R-I-G-H-T, those were the rights we were talking about.
Jordan can spell. Even though he was taught wrong.
What, by Jehovah's Witnesses?
No, by V's as B's or whatever.
Well,
I was trying to call back to that and I failed.
There was...
At any rate,
you should have said about my Indian teacher. Well, I don't know if she was Punjabi or what.
All right.
I don't know. I know there's South and North.
You're going to get Jim Cornetted.
I already did. I got blocked.
That's not what I meant. At any rate, I first saw that joke when you had that bit at the beginning. So I didn't know that that's where it came from. So that's really cool. So Harrison, where can we find your stuff online?
I have a YouTube, just Harrison Poole. Mostly it's school projects, but I'm a film student. So like, if you want to see some short films I made, they're really fun. This fall, Matt Onesti and I are going to film his half hour special.
Oh,
and I'm going to direct it.
Nice.
Yeah.
And, where are you filming it?
We don't know yet. We could
help with that.
I mean, we could, but, you know, that's off the air, but,
When that comes out, be sure to watch and listen.
Matt's really funny. So,
oh my god, dude, so funny. We'll talk off air, but I'm always looking for people to collab with the above below. Like, yeah, like seriously, like we should talk about that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Other than that, Jordan, I don't think we're gonna find anybody that hates failure as much as Harrison Poole.
No. There is another. I won't apologize again. I'm a rapid offender. You can see right through my skin. I don't care about making mistakes. I keep standing up and falling on my face. Feed me nothing ages. Drag me to the ring. Another discharge may burn. Daniels is drunkenness. I keep a bruise in my brain and under the punches. And I was meant to take.
This has been a Lousy Weather Media Network production. Find new episodes and archives at LousyWeatherMedia.com.